Welcome back, dear Nak Muda. To all our fellow youths, I hope you're excited because this is our second episode of STEM Hangat. So before we go in, if you're new here, let me introduce this series a little. So from its name, it's obvious that we'll be discussing STEM topics. Or for those who are not familiar with STEM, science topics, you know, based on science careers from thriving industries in Malaysia. So why hangat? Because this is the sambal pot where we try to discuss spicy like sambal conversations. So today, the industry that we'll be talking about is engineering. And engineering used to be the dream job of every Asian family, I think. I feel like a lot of Asian parents wanted their kids to become an engineer for some reason. Or at least that was what I heard a lot growing up. But I was also surprised to know that recently it is not so popular. So I'm not sure whether it is true, whether that, you know, engineering is not so popular, or if it's true that it's not so popular. To understand why, let's hear it from our three remarkable guests. So we have three engineers from very different disciplines here. So first we have Mr. Alex Loy, the representative from IEM, who will be giving his perspective as an electrical engineer. And then we also have Ms. Uma, the airline engineering manager at Berjaya Air, who will be giving her perspective of being an aerospace engineer. And we also have Dr. Shoaida, from the Chair of Women Engineers from IEM, with the perspective of civil engineer.
You can see that there's definitely a dwindling number of student intakes every year. You see there's a dwindling number of student intakes, especially for electrical and also electronic engineering. However, from my point, I'm actually seeing that there is a growth for mechatronics and also software engineer, probably due to the industrial revolution for, or no, people are looking at artificial intelligence. Now you have all sorts of things like chat GPT and all this. So people are more becoming more interested in doing that kind of courses. Other than that, there are also no engineering graduates who do not pursue their engineering degree, what they are supposed to do, but they pursue a different type of career path. So there are also engineers who are doing that, but some of them are, you know, doing very well in the different career path. Other than that, I'm also, because I'm dealing with the industrial sector, so I also have difficulties in hiring talent. So there's definitely a shortage of engineers and also shortage of talents in the industry.
This interest from the perspective of data that we do have, yeah. It's very alarming that especially after the COVID-19, the numbers of interest, even the numbers of intakes, the interest is portrayed from the number of intakes, yeah. Especially in the higher learning education, where you can see that there is a declining numbers of even the STEM students from Form 5, when they choose the degree programs, they're not opting the STEM-related degree programs. Okay, there are various reasons, yeah, from the perspective of research. Amongst the reasons, the notable reasons is because of the way the subjects being taught at school during this COVID-19 pandemic. You know, it's all online. How can you learn something that is practical online? You have to attend, you have to do this in, like you said, you were talking about physics. You have to do something using labs tools and stuff like that. So when everything is online, this eventually has decreased the interest, even the focus of students. Alamak, it seems like I cannot brain this. I can't really imagine this just by watching YouTubes or, you know, even TikToks. So this eventually has given some impacts to our interests amongst the youth. However, we foresee that along the way, since we are now back to normal, I hope this interest can be boosted up. Hopefully, diharapkan. Yeah, that's something that we cannot deny. Okay, I pass it over to you, Ms. Uwa. I hope I give you some space to talk about this.
Thank you, Dr. Shahida. Thank you. Oshakta, if I can just straight away take it over from Dr. Shahida, because I knew the question already. So, like Dr. Shahida said, it might be a very tough position to answer this at the very being a last speaker. But maybe if I can share from what I know, the engineering interest among the youths in Malaysia, as far as I've seen, it seems like quite strong. And also Malaysia has been actively promoting STEM, the science, technology, engineering and mathematics education and initiatives as well to encourage more young people to pursue careers in engineering and also the related fields. And then also I've seen also the programs like robotic competitions like and also partnerships between industry and academia aim to spark the interest and also to provide more opportunities for hands-on learning environment as well. And if I may add on, like additionally, with Malaysia's focus currently, which is comprises of infrastructure development and also technological advancement. Even yesterday, there was an article by Dr. Tan Sri Mazlan Osman saying that Malaysia needs more space technology advancement and also people those who are pursuing into the technological advance. So we do have like four frontiers and also road models, those who come forward and keep educating and also advocating for the technological advancement. So there's likely a growing demand for engineers, which could further drive interest in the field among young people. Overall, it seems like there's a positive trend in the engineering interest among youths in Malaysia. That's in my opinion.
For years, and you know, there's not much changes. And some of our students really find it hard to get into STEM. And also, there's also a lot of other factors going in. And also, maybe the kind of stereotype that you have to be a very smart student to get into it, or not, it's a very difficult thing to do, right? So there's a lot of things to...
Sometimes they say that it's not for female. Sometimes they say it's not for female students. But we are so fortunate that you invited two female against one male engineer today.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr.
Alex. That was not my intention.
No. I agree, Dr. Shahida. I mean, engineering people's perspective in engineering is always a male-dominated industry. But I have to beg to differ because I hire a lot of women engineers in my firm.
Wow, thank you, Mr.
And
Alex.
They are a lot better than men.
That's very great. And Nakshatra, maybe if I can add on, I'm also a strong advocate of STEAM, actually, whereby science, technology, arts, engineering, and mathematics. I truly look at arts in a way where arts field helps to enhance or to bridge the gap of science communication, whereby whatever, like science could be very tedious or very graphical, or very much laboratory experiments. But how do we exactly technical? But how do we bring those knowledge to someone who is in the non-technical field? And this is where I truly believe arts play a very, very, very big role, be it like movies like Star Wars, where it has been inspiration for many people worldwide to be interested into the space industry today. And also looking at like infographics during the COVID pandemic, let's say, it made us to understand regardless of our age groups. We could understand by just looking at those colorful pictures and charts.
Like we all knew, the pandemic happened. It was a big... it was a big full stop, I guess, for a lot of people, a lot of industries as a whole. So there was also a major retrenchment in 2020. So I just want to know, how did that retrenchment affect the engineering industry as a whole based on your perspective and also your discipline? So Mr. Alex, we'll go with you.
Okay. I think the pandemic, it does affect everyone. I think the commercial and industrial sector, the CNI sector, are deeply affected, especially those who, you know, doing the construction of commercial and also residential buildings. So during the pandemic, you know, these projects are being halted, and then it affects the whole upstream and downstream chain. You're looking at the consultants who are involved in the design and also the submission to authorities. and then the contractors who are doing the construction in terms of civil or mechanical, electrical contractors, and then the suppliers and manufacturers, handling the delivery of the goods and all this. So when this industry is being halted, and then it will affect the whole upstream and downstream. But if you look at the other side of the industry, which is the necessity industry, such as food processing plants, the energy sector, and also the agricultural sector, this sector is a necessity. So it will continue to, continue to grow and continue to develop. So these sectors are not really so much badly affected by the pandemic, mostly because of the not able to export the goods overseas, but internally, in Malaysia itself, it's still able to sustain. But looking at the bright side, if you see the things that are moving today, they are moving at a faster pace. Things are being developed, being grown because of the government incentive, the policies, and also see that people being locked up in their house for the past 1 or 2 years, people are actually getting out more often. So the spending power is there. So it's good to see that the industry is actually growing after the pandemic.
During the 2020-2021, based on DOSM statistic, we recorded approximately -7.9%. Yeah, in terms of contraction, in terms of our growth compared to other industries, as aforementioned by Mr. Alex just now, for instance, services or even manufacturing. Manufacturing, they were increasing at least at 1.5% as per GDP in 2020. So this somehow is generally affected by the focus, not only by the companies, the civil engineering related companies, but also the government themselves. They have started shifted their focus from infrastructure projects, for development projects to tackle the number of population that is increasing towards more kind of welfare amongst rakyat. Yeah, especially during the COVID-19. So we can see that there are slowdowns in even projects, and even companies, they have shifted from very large scale infrastructure to small scales, just to maintain their resistance, their relevance within the industry. Sometimes they even change the focus of the projects undertaken from commercial to government infrastructure to social infrastructure, for instance. Yeah. So despite relying on this, the development, the self-reliance of the companies within the civil engineering industries themselves, I think there is also the intervention and stimulus by the government, even though not that much, since their focus now has been poured into, as I said before, welfare, right? The welfare of rakyat. But at least the government has taken some initiatives to introduce the stimulus packages or even the incentives, spending initiatives for these industries, at least for them to grow. However, we could see that due to this shift, okay, there is a decrease of employment opportunities. But bear in mind, we have a lot of other employment opportunities, even though it's within the construction industry. Even though the construction industry is contracting related to building projects, okay, there are other sub-components of construction industries related to civil engineering that is also booming. For instance, we are talking about data science. When we talk about data science, they must be scientists. No, data scientists could be also from among civil engineers, among mechanical, among electrical. So what you can do is not just to confine yourself. It's not about thinking out of the box. Try to think without the box. Okay, when it comes to exploring these employment opportunities, especially amongst the youth. When you say that I want to become a civil engineer, it's not only civil engineering. You need to explore to various types of sub-fields of civil engineering, not only within construction industry. There are a lot more, even within manufacturing, or even in aviation, they need civil engineers. Okay, maybe Ms. Uma would address this more on her part.
Yes, Doctor. Yeah, completely agree with Dr. Shoaida. Yeah, completely agree with what Dr. Shoaida has said, that when we are talking about like major retrenchments, 2020, the aftermath of the pandemic did have an alarming impact on various industries. Engineering is definitely not an exception. And in Malaysia and also globally. Many businesses like faced economic challenges due to lockdowns, supply chain disruptions. Talk about it. Like even until today, we do have like supply chain shortages due to the pandemic that happened like a few years ago. Talking about aviation sector itself, oh, the pandemic, the first thing that happened, people started to shut their borders of their countries. And the moment you shut the borders of the country, and that's it. Where do the aircrafts fly? The flights have been cancelled because we gain good revenue from the international flights. Everyone knew about it because we pay more for international flights. And the moment the borders are being shut, so the industry started to feel the pressure the most, I would say, because that has been one of the first steps the countries took in order to protect them from the numbers of being affected to decrease. And that's how it goes. And aviation industry has truly felt the impact, and there have been many, many, many companies and brands that has to be closed down. However, today, most of the industries who manage to keep themselves alive, now we could see the progress. And even in Malaysia, we could see that there have been growth in number of airline industries, companies as well. And also the routes that we know today. Like back then, maybe the routes are lesser, let's say like X numbers. And today we have like 3X numbers of the routes compared to what we had prior to the pandemic.
So now we are going to the specific questions. So we will start with you, Mr. Alex. Like I said, you don't have to worry about the time limit at all. So just, you know, feel free to share everything that you have. So, okay, first off, we're going to talk about your job. Right, so how is it being an electrical engineer, and how is it in terms of working hours? And also based on the TikTok or Gen Z terms, you know, everyone is now so worried if jobs are toxic, or if the working environment is not toxic, you know, things like this are, you know, are also all over the reach now. So yes, please feel free to share how is it from experience.
Okay, Thank you, Shetra. In terms of electrical engineering, there are so many different careers that you can pursue as an electrical engineer. Okay, I'm a consultant, so I would just highlight specifically for the career as a consultant. Probably I will share some others career path that you would like to pursue as an electrical engineer, but let's focus on consultant. So I'm a general manager at Malim Consulting Engineers. So we have been around for about 30 years. So we specialize in M&E building services. So M&E is basically a mechanical and electrical building services. So we do the design and also project management up to the commissioning of the building. So we focus very much on industrial projects, like food processing plants, oil and gas, refineries and such. For the past 5 to 8 years ago, we have actually explored into renewable energy. So seeing that renewables will be the catalyst, will be the growth, you know, due to the, we have a limited numbers of fossil fuel. And now we are looking at, you know, ESG, environmental, social and also governance. So these are the things that, you know, that's going to, you know, going to becomes a hot topic for the industry. And I'm sure students nowadays also have picked up a lot on ESG, what is sustainability and all this. So in terms of the energy sector, renewables will play a very big role. So Malaysia, we are very fortunate. We have abundance of solar energy, and we also have abundance of bioenergy. It's coming from the waste, such as landfills and also the agricultural waste. So from bioenergy, you can actually use it as biogas or biomass from, you know, palm oil waste and such. We also have abundance of hydro. And now we are also exploring wind energy at the upper north at Sabah side. So these are the things that, you know, students or the energy sector engineers, they can look at. Other than that, as an electrical engineer, you can also explore a lot of different careers. You can explore on energy efficiency. I'm not sure whether the students if they read the recent news that the government has actually approved the a new act. We call it the EECA, Energy Efficiency and Conservation Act. So this will empower registered energy managers. So there will be a new group of competent person who manage this energy efficiency. So energy efficiency is actually a low hanging fruit. We call this a low hanging fruit because it's something that we can tackle easier compared to spending a high capex for renewable plants. So these are something that the government is actually looking at, and a lot of incentive and policy has been in place to provide for energy efficiency. So we know that, the energy trilemma and all this, so this is part of the program. Other than that, as an electrical engineer, you definitely need to look at the, as a consultant, you definitely need to look at the, getting your professional engineer certification. Okay, so you can sit for the professional assessment exam under BEM or the professional interview under IEM. And then as a consultant, you will need to sit for another second exam, which is called the professional competency exam. And then you'll be called a professional engineer with a preceding certificate. So with this PPC, then you will be able to endorse drawings for submission to all the authorities. Yeah, so these are the career path for the consultant line.
So is it okay for me to summarize it in a way by saying that the consultant has to be involved in the whole planning of a project? Is that the correct way to say it?
Right, right. So you need to have a good idea, from A to Z. What are the procedures? What are the legal, things that you need to comply with? Like I said, there are submission to authorities. So you need to know what are the submission you need to submit. What are the design and how do you comply to certain acts, certain regulations, and certain standards. So Malaysia, we have our own Malaysian standards. So we have to comply to those standards. So as an electrical engineer, the act that we are always involved in is the Electricity Supply Act and also electricity regulations. And then the government agency that is involved is Suruhanjaya Tenaga, or in short, Energy Commission. So they have all the circulars, they have all the regulation and also the guideline and standards that we have to comply with. So that's how our design, when we design something, we always follow certain standards or certain guidelines. So this is how we comply.
Okay, so Mr. Alex, what are the challenges of your career so far?
Oh, this is... I think a lot of like what Dr. Shahida said, and also Puan Umar said, and also I think Shetra, all of the young graduates or young students who are going to enter universities always think that engineering is a very difficult program because we have so much technical things to learn. Even myself, I look at the syllabus, during my time in the universities, we have three different maths topics. Three different years to take. So if those students who doesn't like to do maths, I think they would definitely it's not something for them. But at the end of the day, it is something that we are curious, we are always passionate about how things actually works. That's engineers, what they do. They like to troubleshoot. They look at problems and they see that, hey, I think I can fix this. Maybe there's a better way to do it, So the things that we learn in the universities actually helps us, when we come out in the industries, we actually apply these skills, and they become like a problem solving skills. So it helps us to, see how we can design it better in terms of becoming more cost effective, becoming more productive, more efficient. So these are the things that engineers are supposed to do. And it's improving the people's life. That is the fundamental of being an engineer. Okay, so the challenge is definitely there. I'm not going to say that it's going to be an easy path. It's going to be a tough one. But as long as you have your passion, and you're curious to learn and make mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes during the early days of my career. But of course, some of the mistakes are costly. Of course, at the end of the day, you learn from it and become better. Always to have, you know, the continuous learning and also professional development. Aside from that, get a right mentor. A mentor is very important. Okay, if you can, get a few mentors. They are going to guide you towards your career path and shorten your learning curve. Okay, because there's so much to learn in engineering. And until today, you know, that for myself, I still continue to learn every day. So you have a good mentor to guide you, that would be the best. Okay. And then engage with professional institutions like IEM, you know, or team, because you get to have peer-to-peer development, peer-to-peer sharing of technical expertise. So this is where you grow, and this is where you learn and meet people of your own kind. So they will be able to guide you through and also, you know, share a lot of things with you. Being an engineer is for myself as a consultant, because we do a lot of projects in renewables and also industrial projects. We travel around Malaysia, including Sabah and Sarawak. So a lot of traveling, definitely a lot of traveling, and also late night projects to commission all these plants. But no pain, no gain lah. So you have to work hard to achieve your dreams lah. That's what I say.
Dr. Shahida, I'll go on with you. So, okay, you are in the civil engineering field. So please tell us, what is your job about? There was this study, I don't really remember where the source of study was, but there was this study, even if I don't want to pick that study, okay, I can just tell that, you know, among my conversation, you know, about engineering with friends, a lot of my friends, right, I'm talking about people who are not in the engineering field, so people who are not from that course. But somehow, a lot of people are very familiar with civil engineers compared to the other types of engineers. So there might be a reason to that. So I'm not sure why. Maybe you can enlighten us on that. But yes, also, other than enlightening us, please let us know, what is your job about?
Okay, thank you, Shekhtra. Yeah, the professional engineers, as aforementioned by Mr. Alex just now, registered is only less. It's only 5,900 registered professional engineers only. Less than 6,000. Okay, whereas for the graduate engineer, we have 170,000. Okay, to be precise, it's 170,993. So there are a lot of rooms for us to get jobs. And based on the fact that the engineering population ratio for Malaysia is very huge, the gap, in terms of the gap, one engineer is serving 176 rakyat. You just imagine, one engineer is serving 176 rakyat, compared to France, one engineer is serving 75 rakyat. We are almost more than double, right? If double, 1 to 150. Now it's 1 to 176. Even let's say United Kingdom, their one engineer is serving 140 rakyat. What type of engineer, do you want to be? They only know about civil. Or maybe the next one is mechanical lah kot, eh? Mr. Alex, or electrical lah. Aviation memang tak pernah tahu lah. I think so. There are reasons about this. Yeah, there are reasons. Okay, you know that the first structure being built is the pyramid, right? The pyramid, the so-called structure. There are different types of structure. Even in fact, the first structure that was constructed using the cement is not even a building; it's a tomb, kubur. That was the first structure. You know, the structure, have you been to, you know, like even Christian's kubur, you can see the structure made of the, yes, right, the batu one. Okay, that's the first structure made by engineer. Major types of engineering, civil, mechanical, electrical, right? But it's beyond that, actually. As for me, as a civil engineer, it's more than 10 sub-fields under civil engineering. I have to talk about this because my job is actually, tugas hakiki is I'm a researcher, okay, doing research for Ministry of Transport. My status now is I'm on secondment with the Ministry of Transport. Previously, okay, for the past 17 years, I am a lecturer where in between I do have to take, I do have to undergo the so-called attachment activity, attachment jobs with industries like Mr. Alex, in consultants, also in contractors, because as engineers, you are producing, as a lecturer, you are producing engineers. So you must be well-versed enough to teach these future engineers on what is going on within the industry at the current pace. We are not only based on the theory. It must be something working on with what's happening in real life. Okay, so just to talk about civil engineering subfields only. Okay, there are construction engineering, of course, construction, building, building structures, building buildings, roads, or even schools, infrastructure. We do have a very specific one. We call it as structural engineering, or CNS, works together with MNE, Mr. Alex. CNS is civil and structural. We also have geotechnical. What is geotechnical, Shektra? Agak-agak. Soalan quiz ni, dapat hadiah.
Oh, wow. Geotechnical.
Geo.
Is it something to do with geography? Something to do with education?
It's something to do with tanah. Okay, it's something to do with tanah. Okay, geotechnical.
Okay.
And then we have transportation. Okay, when we talk about transportation, it's not only road transportation. It could be also marine. It could be also aviation, Ms. Uva. Okay, and then we have water resources. It's not about only about bekalan air. It could be also about water sewerage. It could also about renewable energy. Now we're talking about OTEC. Okay, just now Mr. Alex was talking about the wind energy, the solar energy. Okay, there's another new term called OTEC, Ocean Thermal Energy Conversion. This is also involves not only electrical, mechanical, but also involves civil engineering when they are talking about building the structure of OTEC facilities. We also have environmental engineering. We have also surveying. Sometimes we talk about surveying. This must be QS. No, not necessarily to be QS. Quantity surveying or land surveying or building surveying. It could also be among civil engineers. We also have coastal engineering. Okay, we also have earthquake engineers. Earthquake. You might say that in Malaysia, we don't have earthquake lah. Earthquake is not relevant. No. When we construct the Twin Tower, one of our important consultants is the earthquake engineering. Because this is something that we need to foresee, Remember, Mr. Alex says we are the problem solver, Mr. Alex. Even though we don't have problems, we try to find problems. Okay, something about Khairul Aming. He is an engineer, but he used what he has learned during the school days, during the university days, to solve the problems and come up with something new trends of making sambal. What is the sambal? I haven't bought the sambal.
Sambal apa? Yeah, it's called
sambal. Sambal and also the daging viral, whatever. Okay.
The daging salad is something viral.
Even though he is not from marketing background.
True.
So engineers ni dia boleh buat apa sajalah. Mr. Alex, we can even buka kedai sambal, or even we can become the owner of Riverside maybe lah kan.
Multitask kerja lah macam ni.
Macam kerja kita boleh. We are very multitasking.
So, Ms. Uma, before we ask what your job is about, right? To talk about aerospace, aeronautical, all this, very fancy words. Other than Star Wars, I think a lot of kids, when they were young, all had the dream to go to NASA. For some reason, everyone wanted to go to NASA. I don't know why, but everyone wanted to go to space, right? It seemed really cool. So bringing in from that perspective, please share with us what your job is about.
Oh, yes. Talking about NASA, yes. It's like everyone's dream that, I want to work in NASA. Because the brand itself, it's like very high or fancy for us to even wear, and I think it brings some kind of a self-pride as well. It's highly associated. Okay, talking about my field, like coming back to the topic, and thank you so much to IR Alex and also Dr. Shwada for definitely diving deep, very deep into the entire engineering field that we have in Malaysia, and also discussing on the potential new engineering segment development as well. So talking about the aviation industry, so I'm currently working as the tech services and planning manager. My background is from aerospace engineering. I did my aerospace engineering degree back in USM, and then I continued working in a manufacturing plant where we do manufacture the cockpit chassis components. Like, have you seen the cockpit? And there will be lots of colorful lights and everything. And all of the lights, we call it as avionic components, where aviation electronics components. And we need structures for them to hold the electronics together. And that's what my company was doing specifically. So we were manufacturing the components and the parts for Boeing and also Airbus back then. And then while I was working there, I continued my studies part-time as well. I did aviation management, and that's how I landed my job in the aviation industry. So I joined after completing my aviation management master's, then I started into the business development part of the airline industry. And that was very interesting because we could see the overall and how the cost has been one of the major factors that controls everything, especially the engineering department, whereby the department that I'm working right now, because I could really see that department is the only spenders always. We will be definitely spending monies. The only department that do not contribute any tangible income to the company in one way or other. Talking about the engineering department, how much does it cost? How much does it cost? You know, that's how it is. And talking about why does it cost? Let's think about an aircraft. And if let's say aircraft is very big and complex in our mind right now, maybe we can draw it parallel to our car that we drive. It could be any cars. Like thinking of buying a new car. And the car comes with free services, and also it has maintenance, and it has a book. We do have the driver's guide book where it tells what do we need to do and how much. If we open the driver's seat, we could see what is the Pascal of the air pressure that I need to set for my tires. You know, those kind of information. So, okay, those are the things that we as an engineer will be doing to the aircraft as well. So it's just an unconditional love that we have towards the aircraft, whereby we take care of the aircraft as our baby. So we take care of the aircraft just from the day that it has been bought to us, or let's say from the day that I joined the company, we have an existing aircraft, or we have like a number of aircrafts, and what are the things that we need to do? So we have to do everything like periodically as well. Periodically, and also in terms of the lifespan of the material itself, like how Dr. Shuaida has said that we have an expiry date for the structures. And that's how we have expiry dates for the parts as well. And imagine, let's say we need to send our car for servicing after the first 1,000 kilometers of us driving. The same goes to the aircraft as well. So after clocking certain distance, after clocking certain takeoffs and touchdowns, we have to perform this specific task. Have you seen the very flexible or highly volatile airline tickets pricing today? Maybe like if you see from maybe from Kuala Lumpur to Sabah on Monday, the ticket would be like, for an example, let's say 300 ringgit. And then you see the same ticket on Friday, or maybe like a few days after, it will be different. It might be higher, it might be lower. Why? Yes. And because we have a specific number for certain aircrafts. So I have to meet this particular, if let's say in order to break even, if I want to fly my aircraft, then my aircraft should reach the total revenue that I generate from this particular flight should be 10,000 ringgit, let's say. This is just a number that I'm plucking from the skies. Yeah? This is not based on any data. Yeah. So if let's say 10,000 ringgit or 50,000 ringgit, So, and then it depends on the hours of flying as well. So there are many factors. Everything will come from the engineering department, from the expenses, from the cost and everything. It will come down to the commercial department says that in order for me to fly from A to B, I need to come up to this amount to break even. Anything lesser than this, I'm not going to break even. Anything more than this is definitely a green light for us. So that's how we could draw the cost, or that's how we could draw the price tags for the airline. And imagine that you're going to spend, if you, even if you pay like 100 ringgit and if you pay like 1,000 ringgit and you are sitting at the same seat, like, how different that would be. That's not much difference, right? But that's how the airline industry, like, you know, that's how we have to strive to cover our cost, because the cost will be too high when it comes to the maintenance part. And talking about the maintenance engineers as well, it's like, just the same as the car. If let's say I'm an engineer who is certified to repair or to work on Honda City, I will not be certified, or I will not necessarily be certified to repair a Honda Accord, even though they both belong to the same company, right? Same goes to aircrafts as well. If let's say I have a Boeing 777, it doesn't mean that if I'm a certified or licensed engineer to service a 777, doesn't mean that I could do the same on 747. Definitely not, because it's different rating, different type. Even if the, have you seen like Dash 800, Dash 900, even in like same 737 or 77, like 777, it has like Dash 800, Dash 900. Even these configurations, they do have differences when it comes to the licensed holders, including the pilots and including the cabin crews. Because the safety doors would be slightly different, the safety equipment would be slightly different on the aircraft configuration as well.
The question would be, how would the three of you convince the anak muda, the youth of today, to pursue this industry? That means engineering as a whole. You may rephrase this question based on your own exact discipline. But the catch here is, since we have discussed a lot just now, right? You would need to convince the anak muda in just two sentences.
Only one ayat enough lah for me. Cik, action sikit lah. Okay, Mr. Alex, kita from IEM, kita kena action sikit. Represent IEM, because we both represent IEM. Okay. Wahai anak muda. Okay. Do you know that a study has shown that average STEM wage, I know anak muda dia mesti suka gaji punya. Okay, this is a study in 2021. Yeah, the average engineering wage, of which include the STEM wage, STEM related wage, is 78% higher than the other average of non-engineering and non-STEM wage. Okay, that's my catch of the day. 78%, okay? 78%, okay?
Okay. I think everyone is like thinking about it right now, so they're like, oh wow, okay,
wow.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Shahida. Mr. Alex, what about you?
Wow, Dr. Shahida, I've actually spoken a lot from my mind, especially from IEM. So, two ayat, that means saya ada two sentences only from me.
Yes, that's the maximum.
Wow, this is very tough to give our anak muda two ayat. Takkanlah saya nak cakap jurutera miskin.
Never.
Oh, please censor that one. Okay, that one is a very hot topic. Actually, that perception is not right. I mean, if you are master in what you do, actually you can perform in industry, and you do earn that substantial amount, income, and resources for yourself. So, in short lah, I nak bagi two ayat for our anak-anak muda hari ni. So one is passion, action, you cannot have the passion. You know, you have the ambition to dream and all this, but you also have to put your passion into an action. So you have to work out your dream. You have to put in the hard work to make your dreams come true. And I add another more to ayat, which is be hungry. So be hungry in learning. Bukan be hungry in makan dendeng or the sambal berapi lah, or nasi lemak lah. Be hungry in learning and your continuous professional development lah.
If let's say you are looking for a career growth, development, and most importantly in terms of financial as well, so the only way is for an engineer to be creative, because engineer is not only based on the engineering field. Be creative, be innovative, use leverage on the technology to create a global impact. Look beyond where you are, create a global impact. Then definitely people will be coming after you and pay you in dollars.